Amber Stitt Show. Today we welcome my new friend, Samantha Tredelius, to the show today. Welcome, Samantha.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm pretty excited because I feel like not only will you inspire people, but I'm a little selfishly excited because after reading some of what you put on your blog, I feel like you carry a lot of energy. You might be told you're potentially full of energy and maybe a little overwhelming at times. And I've been told that myself too. So I feel like we kind of bring it to the party constantly. Like you said in your blog, having really a proactive, productive day every day. So I feel like that's the energy you're going to bring today, which is why you are perfect for the Pathways of Peak Performance. So thank you for being here.
I'm excited. Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. So I'm going to take you all the way through the Pathways of Peak Performance. I feel like you embody every category. So what I like is to not only have the conversation, but some application, some takeaways for people. And so with the pathways, we talk about focusing on talents as being the foundation of life, and then everything can kind of trickle on down from there. So really focus on talents can be anything from personal development, health, wellness. And so really with all the things that you do, and we're going to dive into more of that because I can't just say you do one thing. It's just impossible. So really in a nutshell, for you, what has really been something instrumental, maybe something that you share with not only your foundation and your business, but for you, what sticks out as like the go-to, the thing that's kind of changed it for you?
I mean, I think there's a way that one moves through life with whatever they're doing. And one of my big undertows in life is just leading with purpose. And it's, you know, it's not one of those like cliche types of saying, it's like walking the walk and talking the talk. So I really just kind of drive home every single day with waking up and how can I have purpose, whether it's selling insurance, whether it's interviewing great women on my podcast, whether it's, you know, sparkling, all those different things. I think that's like my driver and like what really, you know, the moment I realized like the impact that you can have on a day-to-day basis and feel good about it. That's, you know, what was kind of an eye-opener for me.
Yep. And so we didn't kick it off with a bio on you, but we're going to talk about that as we go. But really, you do have this podcast. You do have an insurance business. You do have a foundation. So we're going to tap into that a little bit more. But I agree. It's just having that daily push of just like, how are we going to change the world essentially with just big things or even just little pieces? Like we talked about previously on other episodes, Atomic Habits, like just little things can be such a big thing for us. And so leading with purpose, I love that. I know that's one of your mission statements.
Yes.
The second category is focusing on money. And so if you're really leading with a purpose, this is not just like financial planning. I'm talking about focusing on being money smart, our goals, and how do you comprehend money? If you're leading with a purpose, is there anything that's really shaped within your household? It could be even down to your children, your girls, but like in business that you want others to know, whether it's a client or a friend, when we focus on money. So any takeaways there that you'd like the audience to know about?
Well, I think like going back to like business parts, is just kind of knowing what you're good at and knowing what you're not good at, and knowing that it's okay sometimes to put money in different ways to kind of fill holes or plug holes that you need some assistance with, whether that's, you know, web design or marketing or, you know, whatever it may be. So I think being open and being real, like you can't, even though we think we can't do it all, and that moment that you're like, okay, if I allocate, you know, X amount of dollars over here, will it yield bigger dividends because I can open up my time and do more selling or do more of what I enjoy doing that I'm good at doing?
Yeah. So the delegation as a solopreneur, a lot of people can be that when they first start out. It's like, okay, we're doing everything. Part of that is though, you can learn the process. So if you are delegating and hiring out, then you know how to do it in case it breaks or you have to cross train. But then what puts you in your flow and then what's exhausting to you? We want to give those things away that are exhausting because we're not going to be perfect in everything, nor should we be in everything. So focusing on what you're talented in, that's really the driver of then, like you said, like the business. And so when we talk about money goals, it's not just like, how do I save? Am I save a certain percentage of my check per month? It's not about that. It's just like the overall, the entity of the whole thing. We're like, how are you going to address it and make things happen? Going back to, if we treat your purpose as the foundation of this episode, really staying within where you're talented, so then that can speak for itself. But let's, since I jumped over a little bit of a bio on you. Let's kind of focus and focusing on risk management. And risk management can be this thing. It's not very glamorous and sexy. Yours might actually be a little more fun. I get to talk with people about what if they're going to be disabled or if they pass away. So my world is not very sexy, but I guess lawsuits might not be either. So with where you've been, how did you know insurance was your thing? And how did you land in commercial insurance?
So my family owns a licensing school for insurance. So I kind of grew up in that environment of knowing about insurance. And I actually started teaching insurance when I was a senior in high school. So it's kind of what I did, putting myself through college, learning a lot about, you know, the process of the back end, code and ethics, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I graduated school, I decided it was time to like get a job and my parents weren't ready to retire. So I opened up an agency with my father selling small personal lines, home and auto. Oh,
okay.
And I would buy leads off the internet and smile and dial and like sell $100 renters policies.
Yeah.
And, you know, slowly learned that like commercial was obviously something that was a little bit more exciting and also going to yield a little bit of a higher premium. So I started dabbling in that and then met my husband who ended up being in insurance as well.
No way.
And, yeah. His focus was property. And so when I ended up getting married and moving to San Francisco, I joined forces with him and we have grown commercial coverage to what it is today.
That's amazing. My husband's recently joined. I mean, he was always in operations, but he got insurance license not too long ago. And he's just perfect for a different variation of what I do. So it's a perfect add-on. So when you can collaborate, and I know some people might say it's really kind of crazy to work with a spouse, but I think going back to purpose, if you have alignment with goals and you are all working within where you're talented, again, that's just another reason why that's so important, because you put people where they need to be and you won't overstep and you won't exhaust each other. It's not like that every day, of course. I can say that it can be exhausting.
And I grew up in family business. So for me, working with, you know, seeing my parents work together was like, it was all hands on deck all the time.
Yeah.
My husband, it was a little different because he didn't come from that environment. But the moment I think we really understood our strengths and our weaknesses and how, you know, he's a phenomenal sales guy, walks in a room and you're just like magnetic. And I'm really good with people back end. I can also stand toe to toe with him and close a deal. But the moment I think we realized where our stronger suits were and how we could complement each other was like a game changer for the both of us.
Well, I didn't know that you were in the family business. I have a family of entrepreneurs, and it was actually part of the reason why I skipped being in it for about a decade was because I didn't think I was, as far as my grades went, accounting and some of the mathematical, like the mathematic grades weren't the strongest for me. So I just thought, oh, I can't do that. And I'm watching my dad present and draw the buckets on the whiteboard and do all these amazing things. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was intimidating. But then fast forward, they pulled me back in eventually after my 20s to early 30s is when I finally jumped in. And I think that's what's important for, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. There's a few things I want to talk to you about with community, but what I would like the younger generation, the next generation, or the career changers, you can be in financial services so many ways. You can really build it out to be whatever you want. I have a friend of mine, she does recruitment for moving people from broker dealers. I know that's not really what we do, but she's like, I have a lot of fun. I make great money and I'm actually working with multiple parties and I'm a recruiter in financial services. Tell the girls that we're at a conference. She's like, let them know there's so many ways. You just don't have to be an insurance nerd, but like there could be another way to do it.
Well, there's so many different areas. And that's one of the greatest things when I'm hiring people is like finding their best, you know, best path. So certain people are born salespeople and that's what they need to do. Others are more concierge based individuals.
Yep.
And some of them just, you know, like to do the back end. And so everybody's kind of got a place. And I think being a successful employer is finding where those places are for people so that they can succeed.
We haven't talked a lot about this, but one of my big goals is to kind of shake up this traditional financial firm style, the old antiquated way of doing things, even down to potentially how people are paid, because some people can be production only. A lot of my clients are physicians. Some of them love the W-2 employment health system model, some of their specialties. That's just where they would go work. Some people love to go fast. Let's go action. Let's just get paid as we earn and build business. And so some people like the safety net. Some people don't. They actually love the thrill of just the high production. So I've even heard about firms, not many, that will build out almost like starter for their employees, a way to kind of get their training wheels off. But some people just want to go right in. Like you said, you dabbled with a couple things as far as auto and home, and then you changed it a bit. So just there's not just one way to do it. Find the niche and then just don't apologize for it and just go for it. And then find your strategic partners. Maybe it is a spouse, maybe not. So I'm curious to know, are there any little fun things that you're installing for financial literacy with the girls? Have you done anything interesting?
Yeah, I mean, my girls are in every part. I have a 10 and a 12-year-old, so they walk with me all day long in anything I'm doing. So when I'm doing insurance stuff at night, you know, my daughter will come, "Mom, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm filling out an application." And, you know, the hardest thing is to, like, explain insurance to a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah. They just kind of look at you.
Or an adult. Let's just right? be real.
I think the kids, because they really have no idea about what it is. So you're trying to explain it. So, I mean, they're very much involved. And then also just in my efforts with my nonprofit stuff, I mean, they're always around and they see.
So they're seeing you.
Oh, yeah. They're right next to me.
You know, I was at a conference last year and we're sitting among all the people that do the same thing. And we all talk about our kids and the kids, mom, dad, I don't want to be in the business. I was even, as I said, I can't be in the business. And I thought, what if there was a way to get all the kids together and build some sort of conference where it's just cool, like Google, like a fintech, like all the different things that they think is just not fun, sitting at a desk doing applications. Oh my gosh. But what if we could let them see the other side? So without having to build out a conference or whatever, if we can literally bring them with us and make it fun, the thing I want my daughter to see is to see multiple things. Like you said, your husband can walk in the room and just light it up. Well, if she doesn't want to sit behind a desk doing some data fill, part of that, you know, you might have to do that when you're learning. But what if that's her thing and it's more about arranging and being more transactional? What if the person needs to be out having conversations? They don't know unless you take them along. So my daughter's 4 and a half. So eventually she'll be coming to different coffee meetups and then some of the nonprofit work too that we do outside of the office so she can see. But so far she's just shredding paper for her allowance.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yep. So outside of me printing coloring pages for her different things, where, you know, but she does like seeing me in here. And I think we got to get her. I don't know if your girls get on the mic, but I'm excited to get her on the podcast mic eventually.
I haven't got them on the mic yet. I'm terrified what they'd say, but no, they.
Oh, I know, right?
We've interviewed some teens that were going, graduating seniors that were going out into, you know, looking for college and like what it's like to be an 18-year-old woman embarking mm-hmm. on life. And it was incredibly inspiring. I mean, the girls that we, you know, see and that are in our life, as far as like Sparkle stuff, I mean, they're incredible young women. And I think it's so important for them to be involved in big girl activities, even at a young age, because when they get out there in the big world, it'll be like, yeah, I've done that.
Yep. Well, and that's where I've been doing some things. So you're in California and I'm in Arizona, but Junior Achievement is, I've also toured their business town here in Tempe because it's, they're putting it to work. And so when we did a tour the other day, the person giving us the tour, he goes, "It looks like they are running around crazy, but they've been trained 16 hours. They know what they're doing. They're running businesses. Just go and watch them." And it was so cool because what if we could just be put into this over time and not just be dropped in? I mean, you know, sometimes those experiences are good for us too, but if it's not, if you're just used to it, you just keep enhancing it and evolving it. I mean, that would be a lot more fun than just, you know, jumping in and just being scared. I remember making those calls very early.
Life is hard enough, right? And mm-hmm. life as a young woman, you know, with everything that's coming at them sideways, it's hard enough. So if there are a few key things that we can teach them now you know, are just some fundamental foundations for them, it's going to be so like paying forward for them in years to come.
Yeah. And that's really what the baseline, the Pathways of Peak Performance came at the beginning of 2020. It was just a idea for a workshop, but having resilience, because like you said, things are going to happen. So we know that's going to happen. Do we have all the pieces? Do you have a mission? Do you have a purpose? And if you know that within yourself, when life is hard and you're having a rough day, hopefully that just keeps you chugging along because you know there's more. And then money management can be one of those things. If you have kind of dialed in, then there's less stress when there's less money or something happens. And then this piece of just that risk management, we kind of applied it to business, but really just looking at it as a whole and not being scared of risk, but how do we take care of it and be proactive with it, which then leads me to marketing and technology being, it could be so different for so many people. So it's not about like, what are you using in your business to be effective with marketing? With marketing and technology, I mean, we could even talk about your podcast. What are you using that you just love and that's just shaped you in the last few years when it comes to anything that you're doing from marketing and tech? What would you like to share with the audience about that?
So marketing, I have found women, we do business much differently. We're more connective in the way that we operate. And so for myself, whenever I'm marketing, you know, whatever I'm doing, I tend to go base that pursuit on a relationship-based approach, right? So whether that's attending, you know, events, meetings, et cetera, or just connecting with people that are like-minded, that are, you know, seeking what I'm doing or in the same space. I mean, that to me is my best marketing. I can never spend enough. There's no dollar amount that would ever yield those dividends, right? When it comes to, you know, nonprofit stuff, like Sparkle is a very grassroots organization. And so all of our marketing is also like, it's social media, it's word of mouth. It's basically pounding the pavement to get people to know, hey, here's what we're doing and here's how we need to fund it. So that I use a lot of social media, and that's been very good, but not so much for insurance, because the people that are buying buildings and things of that nature, they're not on Facebook. They don't, you know, they're not doing that. LinkedIn a little bit, but not, you know, you're getting your name out there, but you're not like involved with the right people in a lot of ways that are going to pay back, you know, and get you the leads that you need. And with the podcast, you know, a lot of it is people like you and me that are entrepreneurs that are interviewed, and then they, you know, send it out to their networks. And it's a great way to get our story and your story out into different worlds and different dynamics that we wouldn't really have access to otherwise. So, you know, I think there's not like a one fits all box.
Exactly.
That you can get everything into. And a little bit of everything, kind of, it's a consistency. You've got to be consistent.
Yeah, consistency. I know there's a quote about Tony Robbins. I don't have it written down, but he talks about something to the tune of, it's like, it's not the smartest people. It's like the most consistent people can get things done. It's not about IQ, essentially. So I want to step back a little bit. I don't think I caught how you and your friend, your co-host, met on your episodes. So how did you two meet? How did it work out?
Stacy, I call her Fleece because there's two Stacys in our group of friends. So everyone gets a last name. There's two Stacys, two Michelles, and a Sam. We met, so it's kind of an interesting networking, like businessy kind of story. So when I moved to San Francisco, I was a complete fish out of water, knew no one except my husband, and met a woman who had a networking group called Skirts. And Skirts was sharing knowledge, information, resources together. It was the acronym. And it was all female entrepreneurs that would meet once a month. And the idea was a relationship-based networking group. And so we grew up together, this group of 15 women. I mean, for 20 years, we met religiously.
Oh, wow.
And we're still all very close. But Stacy was one of the first women I met within maybe a month of moving to San Francisco. And she was, you know, had a little bit older kids. She was managing a hedge fund at the time, like just a total like magical creature. And so her and I, of course, we just hit it off and, you know, never looked back. She's my life partner. We do everything together. We travel, we work together, we podcast together. And it's like, we have a good yin yang, which is fun. And she is absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, no, I caught that. I like the vibe. Funny. So that's really cool that you can do that with each other. But you know, I think with all the things that you do, some people, do they ever ask, oh, how do you get it all done? Like, how do you do this or that with the marketing? I think if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. You just have to figure out what you can allocate for time. I know that with marketing, often, like you said, with insurance, it's like, we're not really seeing metrics that say this or that works. Sometimes I feel like when I talk to my male counterparts, they want that metric. They want that direct number to like, what commissions did this earn you? But I just don't think that's the way it is with the approach. You just have to be present and show the world what you're capable of and what you like to do and how you can help. Shaking it up and just finding your way. There's so many ways to do business. And so there's so many resources out there too. I mean, you can learn it on YouTube or you can figure it out through a friend or your, like your network, like you're talking about. So there's really no excuses, but sometimes you're not going to see that dollar amount, but it should be fun or you're delegating it out. But like the whole picture is just kind of figuring out what do you like to do? And it should be easy to implement. I mean, not always easy, but easy enough to kind of add it to the arsenal. If it's important to you, then should be fun. And so it sounds like that's what you're doing. I tend to do that too. The blog, the podcast, the work, and the networking, which is focusing on community. So originally when I was interviewing people for more of the idea of Pathways of Peak Performance, it was along the lines of businesses being shut down. How do you still look present online and not show that just the consistency part, really what you talked about, but it became more than that. And so when I meet people that might be not new in the business, but maybe they're just trying to expand, like LinkedIn, for example, I think that's originally where we met. It wasn't Instagram, but I'm meeting a lot of friends through the online platforms like LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding a lot of really like close friends, if you could say that, because we're sharing the same mindset of how do we change things. It's really, there's a lot of nonprofit extra hours going in pro bono, but you're aligning with these people and a lot of my female colleagues now. I mean, we're always brainstorming. How do we do this or that? How do we create an event? How do we help people? And it's just becoming this powerful thing. But originally it was like focusing on community could help you. Maybe if you have an illness, it was more of that COVID mindset at the time. But like, if you have to shut down, how do you send a client somewhere else? If you need to go on maternity, take some time, having a trusted network. But as I keep evolving that, and then as I get more involved with things like, for me, women in insurance and financial services, and then some other insurance organizations, plus a couple nonprofits here in Phoenix that are female focused, it becomes more than that. It's a sisterhood that I never thought I would have had, but we can choose it. What's nice about online is like even that friendships through the network, we can choose the time we devote to it and then go back to our work, our family, whatever else it is. So LinkedIn has become a game changer for that. I bring this up only because some people think, oh, LinkedIn, it's kind of annoying. You got all those spammers, they're trying to sell you something. But if you can shut out the noise and just see who's kind of shining and who's leading the pack and like, you know, inspiring you, I think LinkedIn's been interesting. But then Instagram too, not so much for an insurance business, but it's fun to put a creative, beautiful, aesthetic, you know, communication out there. But focusing on community, I could go all over the place, but I want to give a little time for your Sparkle Foundation. I want to know a little bit more. Is it specifically local in your cities or is it expanding? What's the latest on the news of Sparkle Foundation?
There's a lot we're ramping up, but going back, I want to touch on the community part and putting yourself in environments where the people that you want to be around are is, I think, the best lesson that I was ever taught. Or somebody said it to me, like, if you want to meet with property managers or you want to meet with successful business women, yeah, go find them and plug in, right? Because goodness loves other goodness and you will find each other. Yeah. And, you know, the silver lining of COVID was we got to really embrace, and our generation, we've been always kind of cool with the tech, but we're not as cool as like the younger, my kids are, but we were never like hip with like online relationships. I mean, it was always kind of weird. And now it's the norm. Like you and I are able to connect and, you know, form a relationship, and you can be in 15 different places at once because you don't have to drive or get on a plane. So I think there is some awesomeness about the online community and finding one that works. Right? Because not everything works, but you do need to show up and try different things and, you know, plug in with what makes sense. So that's my two cents on that.
Thank you.
Sparkle. So Sparkle's ramping up. We're on our year 7 now. We just actually had
congratulations.
Thank you. Big year. We just had our board meeting last week. So we've got a lot going on. We've got backpacks coming up in the fall, which will be August, which we start working on now because it's such a big thing. We're going to do 5,000 backpacks this year, which is bananas.
Okay. Stopping there, like literal backpacks, not like stuffing a backpack. Like you are, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So what we do is we work with community partners, and you would ask where we are. So we're in the Bay Area, anywhere from Sonoma to San Jose in the East Bay. Then we are in Sacramento, so that whole area, and then also Los Angeles right now. So we've got California pretty much covered. What we do is we work with local law enforcement, first responders, and also school districts. We reach out, we say, hey, you know, because they know where the families are that need backpacks.
Right.
Literally a backpack filled with school supplies, because if you imagine being a single mom and like trying to pay rent and put food on the table, and now I got a list of stuff I got to buy my kid to go to school. And a backpack, honestly, is like $100 a kid.
Right.
And it's expensive. And so
it should be exciting and not a stressful thing.
You know, you go to Target and you're just like, holy moly, I just spent $200 on two bags and crayons. This is bananas. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we find out what the need is. We then fundraise and we buy them and we get all the school supplies and then we stuff them in our different locations. My location's here at the house. So I'll have 200-300 people show up. Two stuff backpacks.
That's cool.
And then we get them to the community partners and then we go distribute them at different events like the week before school starts. So last year we did 3,800. This year we're doing 5,000.
Wow. Okay. So I will, I know that there's links, but I'll get some links to link up in the description boxes for this information. So if people want to help, that would be really cool.
And it's $8. I've got it down so good. Business me, right? I have ground it down and I can fill a bag, a 19-inch backpack filled with 36 school supplies for $8.
Wow. So I don't even know. $8. I'm picturing, no way.
$8, that means a kid gets a backpack. So we've got that going on. We've got multiple different fundraising activities to make that happen. And then we're going to have our Sparkle event. Usually we have a night to Sparkle, which is where we feature, you know, 50 local entrepreneurs, women selling their wares. And then we have, you know, a fashion show and all that. And this year we're switching up. We're going to have a brunch, a jazz brunch with a keynote speaker. It's going to, like, I feel like we're grown up now. We can do it.
Okay. I need to save the date on this one, please.
Right. August 20th. It'll be here in the Bay Area. And then after that, we've got Christmas rolls right around. So we have October 1st, we'll launch our nomination form. And then November, December is all about single moms and providing Christmas. So last year we did 70. I think we'll do 70 families again because it's an approachable amount we can manage. And then the other thing is we're ready to fund round two for our microloan program, which we are in right now. We're accepting applications through middle of May and we will be funding one or two businesses this year. So we're ramping up for that, which is exciting and terrifying because it's a huge deal, but it's one of my most favorite parts about what we're doing.
Oh my gosh. That is so much and so amazing. There's a lot more than I thought there was.
There's a lot going on. It's like my desk is nuts and then I have insurance and like all the other things too. So it's like I'm spinning.
But again, driving back to the purpose, you know, you're doing amazing things. Feels good when you're helping others. Is there anything like, as far as the women that you're helping, is there anything you'd want people to know that no one really knew or knows, like a statistic or something that you're just like, this is really shocking, but the $8 supplies, that's shocking. But is there anything else that you run into that you're just like, people don't know this?
Well, so we serve single moms. So that's our mission, our focus, and we're very firm on that. So a single mom, you know, many times in many of our communities, they're everywhere, whether it was your mom, your sister, your best friend, and they are the hardest, most underserved community out there because they really take on so much. And, you know, I live in Marin County here. It's a very affluent county in California. And you would have no idea the amount of hardship. And it's not just here, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Like palm trees are beautiful. That's one thing about California that can be tricky. It's beautiful, but it doesn't mean right next door there's some stuff going on. That's just...
And you may have a woman who's making enough to pay rent and she can put food on the table, but there is literally $20 extra a month. And you know, what we do is we are not here to serve a lifestyle. So we're here for the woman who can provide, but there isn't any extras and she needs a hole plugged. That's where we're most effective and impactful. And the other thing that's kind of cool about us is that we only help one time. So we're not, you don't come back continually to come back. We are basically just that trampoline that can get you going and bounce you back off. And we've been very successful. I mean, over the years, we've served over 10,000 lives with our various things that we've done. And it's 100% volunteer. 100% of every dollar that we get goes right back out, which is kind of why I started this in the first place. And this year, I think year to year growth, I think I haven't got my tax returns just back yet, but I'm thinking it's about $1.8 million we've raised and given back out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know I saw that $1 million number and I wanted to ask, so I'm glad you brought it up so I didn't have to go there, but that is amazing. I mean, when did this start in your head as a dream? So before 7 years, so congrats, 7-year anniversary, but before that, when was the original, like, we need to do this. Do you remember what year or where you were? Yeah.
No, I remember it well. I was 23 at the time. It was 2003. And I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something in this world. I just didn't know what. So I started researching charities, and you would find that most of the charities aren't as transparent with the money that they spend. And everyone's like, you can't say that. I'm like, but it's a fact, right? So you donate $100 and it's going to go to pay lunch and admin, and maybe $20 goes to like serve the cause, which for me was not like, I didn't have a lot of money, but the money I did have, I wanted to make sure it was like serving.
Accounted for. I remember around even when Florida had some issues, I remember listening to some people with a lot of money that were donating. They go, be careful. You need to know where you're giving your money, to the water bottles, the people that are funding to build things back up. Be careful, because there's a lot of scams and different things. And I know that's not where you're trying to go down that rabbit hole today, but yes, just making sure the dollars are really legit helping people and not funding something else, like a padded layer of something that a nonprofit would need. No,
it's great. And when you are transparent, I think people can really resonate with it. And so year after year, the program grew and grew. And I just did Christmas. First year, I did 2 families. Then it was 3, 5. And then by 2015, I had 17 families that we were hosting out of my house. And by hosting, I mean, we would got to know them. I raised the money. I went and bought what they needed. And then we wrap it and we go deliver it. So there's actually that end result, which another thing that was important to me is a lot of organizations, you write a check and then you don't really know.
Yeah, you can't feel that.
And we are very much involved with the community, as well as our students and all the different, you know, people that want to get involved. So they can actually hand off a backpack, stuff it, and go give it to a kid, which I think really gets that, you know, heart tug that you know you're making a difference. And for those people that aren't in a position to donate money, they can donate their time or, you know, be involved in the process. And it is one of the most magical things. It's not only this ability to help the recipient, but also to be able to provide an opportunity for people to have an ability to get involved in something that's bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm. There's also something, I mean, donations are great, hand-me-downs are great, but there is something different. I remember being a kid and just loving the school supply shopping, all of that. There's something about getting something new that's theirs, that's different. And that's just something that I think kids can appreciate too. I mean, in general, having it, but the fact that you're doing it that way is amazing. Well, there's more to come. We're going to dig in more with you, I know, in a future episode or two. So I think that's a perfect place to close for today. I think that people have to be inspired after hearing all the things that you're doing. And if they wanted to be affiliated with you, we'll be able to connect them with you and the multiple ways that you're helping. So thanks so much for being on the show today. So
thanks for having me. It's great to be able to share stories of women doing things, you know, because there's not, I think a lot of times many of our stories don't get to get told. And so it's great that you're providing a space that does that. So thank you.
Yeah, you're providing the voice, but then the action behind it in so many different ways. So I love when I meet someone and doing the good work. So I really appreciate it. And there's more to come. So thanks, Samantha. Have a great day.
No, you too.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Amber Stitch Show. For more information about the podcast, books, articles, and more, please visit me at amberstitt.com. Until next week, enjoy your journey at home and at work. Thank you for listening.